What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Screencast special WWE WrestleMania Ranked. That's Tim. I'm Greg. And on our way to the granddaddy of them all, we've invited a number of the wrestling world's best and brightest stars, legends, and more to pick a WrestleMania match for us to review and rank each and every week on our way to Philadelphia in April. If you love what we do, please support us with a Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows at you like that? You threw an in there for no reason. Yeah. To get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and of course, get my daily exclusive show, Greg Way. You can get the Kinda Funny Screencast for free with ads and without the exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Tim?
Mm-hmm.
What a cursed episode this
is. It is. You know, in 10 plus years of making content with you, Greg, I feel like there's been less than a handful of like real technical snafus or things that have caused major issue. And last week we had some audio issues with our guest. This week our guest just isn't here. We have a very full schedule. We're trying to make things happen. Mike got sick. A lot's going on. But we're going to have the show must go on.
The show must go on, and we can rank all of these WrestleMania matches and have a great conversation about it as well. Thank you to our Patreon producers who make these conversations possible: Carl Jacobs, Kishan Patel, Nathan Lamoth, Karen Linder, James Hastings, and Casey Andrew. Today, we're brought to you by
Shady Rays.
Yeah.
BetterHelp.
Okay.
And WWE 2K24.
I'm glad. I wanted to make sure. Because it's that thing of I hadn't updated the doc since we tried to film this episode last week.
Got it.
That was our thing. So I wanted to make sure I didn't screw up. I thank you for being there to have me as always, Tim. But before that, let's start with a video to find out how we got here.
Hello, it is the man, Becky Lynch, and my WrestleMania match pick for you to watch is the man, big time, Becky Lynch versus the EST, Bianca Belair, at WrestleMania 38. One of my favorites. Go watch it. Go now. Go on.
I love Becky so much.
I love it.
Let's go back to WrestleMania 38 live from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas on April 2nd and 3rd in front of a grand total of 131,372 Timothy.
Can we talk about that?
Gettys.
Can we talk about that?
Two nights? The grand total of people?
Two nights, the grand total of people. If I remember correctly, this is a record-breaking number.
Okay.
138,000. Think about that number, Greg. That is
131,000.
Insane.
Yeah.
Because even giant arenas, big WrestleMania numbers, we're talking 104,000.
Yeah.
This is tens of thousands more than that.
Why aren't you cheating?
Why? How?
The combined total.
Oh, is it?
It's two nights, right?
So they're adding it up saying that way. Well, but even then, like the Dallas, Texas arena that they are in is massive. Absolutely massive. This, even one night, is more than a huge WrestleMania.
Okay.
Like, I think this might be, and it's also like indoor. So James Burke was there. And,
no way.
And he was like, this is undeniably the loudest room I've ever been in. This WrestleMania had a lot of pop moments. A lot
of course. So it was a big WrestleMania.
But yeah, it's a lot of my favorite things. A lot of people that care about a thing in one room.
Lots of people.
You know what I mean? But you put people that are passionate about something in a room, there's going to be an energy. When it's a very big room with a ceiling, with exciting things happening, it's going to be awesome. You're going to feel it all, right? So you definitely felt that in all of this.
You did definitely feel that. And it starts, of course, with the hype package. We're going to go the tail of the tape and do, of course, ranking on the Kinda Funny scale, 1 to 5, what we thought of very specific sections of this here rivalry. And, of course, we start with the hype package. I liked this one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I say this is a 4 out of 5 hype package. The reason it sits there and it tells you what is happening, why it's happening, and why this matters. You know, I love the 1 year ago, like they start right away, right, to show Bianca and Sasha there. Of course, they say they're making history. I don't think they drove it home, but of course, you should know by watching this. But of course, it was a shot of them duking it out, the first black women ever to fight in the WrestleMania main event, right? Like that was such a moment, right? And such a great job of cementing who Bianca Belair was, right? At this point, we already know Sasha. We already know the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca coming up from NXT, very similar like Sasha, of course, getting there and proving herself, showing what the EST is, really building this character mattered. Main eventing WrestleMania fucking mattered. Having it be that historic mattered, right? And then 4 months later, to have Becky Lynch come in at SummerSlam and squash her. 26 seconds to beat Bianca Belair and take the title, right? Like, damn. Mm. That was another one of like whiplash from WWE, from storytelling, from the angle. Ah, good job with the hair, right? And then even the line for Becky, right? Get to the back of the line, bitch. Like, Jesus. And of course, this is the move of Becky coming back, but not being the Becky we knew. This is big time Bex, right? This is going to be heel version of Becky Lynch, who's better than everybody. And you see that go on, right? She, you know, her, the quote I have here, I'd sell my soul to keep this, right? As they go through the hype package and do this. You're only good because I showed the world how to be great. Like, damn, like they're doing a great job of building Becky coming back, but not being Becky anymore. Becky coming back, but being sour. Building Bianca having this moment, having it stolen away, and then having it be, I mean, you're getting put down, you're getting put down, you're getting put down.
There's a lot that you're touching on that I think is very important. I think the context of the time of this happening is huge, because this WrestleMania, like I was just saying, huge, absolutely huge. So many eyes on this, so much excitement for it all. And for this to be such a big match with somebody that we saw the last year, the main event with Sasha, that was such a big moment because Bianca represents a step forward in the women's division. We have seen so many big steps, so many evolutions, revolutions, whatever you want to call it, in the women's division of wrestling, of WWE specifically. But to have the four horsewomen and see their rise and see them all get their moments, or maybe Bayley will finally get her moment this year, but we start to really see them get all of the accolades, get the titles, get the tag titles, get the Rumble wins, get all of this stuff. But then there's the question of, okay, but who else? What are you going to do when we've done every possible storyline? When Charlotte Flair's got the title 10 billion times, who's going to be next? And they set up Bianca, and Bianca showed up that she could be next. She has the stuff. And to cement that they can build this roster out, and we can start seeing a past, present, future of the women's division. And I think that that is such important storytelling, having Becky be able to come back and be the heel and be not what we've seen Becky be before, at least in the pole position of where she's been, where the man character that she had, that underdog story, like the man, the rise of the man was like so important. But what do you do when that gets stale and she goes away and comes back and it's a squash match? And it, this match to me, the one of the notes that I have, and I'm jumping around a little bit of my thoughts on this, I'm living my life.
It's a fun episode of WrestleMania Ranked.
One note I had is, no matter where we rate this, no matter where people rate this, this match is underrated. And I say that where I think at the end of the day, I might give this a 3 out of 5 overall, maybe a 4 out of 5. But like, I still am fighting against myself where I'm like, that's underrated. And it's just because these people are so incredible. Everything about this match, the story of it all, from the hype package to the match itself and the bits that they had in it, I was like, so much of this was earned and so much of this was so well done. But it's funny because at the time I hated it. And I remember watching it, and this match in particular, and rewatching it with the hype package and the knowledge that we have now, is a big character growth moment for me, Greg, because it reminds me and reinforces that you got to just have patience sometimes. Sure. And when you're watching something and you don't like the direction it's going, it's not always going to work out. But sometimes you just need to trust in the product. Sometimes you just need to trust that the people that we've enjoyed forever are going to pull something off. And when Becky returned and squashed her, it was like, what the fuck are you doing? And we saw Kofi get squashed by Brock. And we're
one of the ones over there in the live chat for one of the Patreon members, right? Where it says, this match is, or this story is what Kofi and Brock should have been. That's FSI.
And it's funny because I never gave it credit that they got there at the end. You know what I mean? Like having this match and having it end the way that it does and everything. It's like that story beat in the moment felt frustrating as hell, but it had to in order to get here. And then it made both women better at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know, one of the things as we are in the modern times right now, and we continue to see the Bloodline storyline, Cody storyline, The Rock storyline, right? And this is a rare one for this show because of the delay last week. This is recording on Wednesday and we'll post on Thursday. So we don't have to worry about, well, what's going to happen. But there was, when the Rock and the Cody thing, when it was confusing and nobody understood what was going on, and everybody's losing their minds. Sam Roberts was on Not Sam Wrestling saying, you got to let them cook. Mm-hmm. Like, the meal isn't ready. You're judging them on them putting together ingredients. We got to get to the end of the line to see if it actually made sense. And that can be frustrating in the moment, but in the end, that's what storytelling and professional wrestling storytelling is. And so, that was the thing of, I remember the squash. I wasn't watching that SummerSlam, but I obviously was paying attention, as I always am, to WWE. And so I remember when that happened, and I remember the fervor to it, right? Over in the chat as well, right, Mr. Hawks 182, a kind of funny member, says, I was in the arena of that SummerSlam that night, and it killed the crowd for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And that, don't get me wrong, I'm not justifying ruining the crowd at SummerSlam that night, but in terms of the storytelling, in terms of the pacing, in terms of what you're trying to do, because again, Becky coming back was a big deal. She had left as a face, the face, right? Mm-hmm. She left as the man. Coming back and coming in, and you're going to win it, that it, or you're going to fight for it, that's exciting and cool, but face-to-face is always so difficult. Yep. You can't do it. Squash and then build to her being the heel.
Absolutely. And I remember I did watch this live, and I remember it was me, James, Cool Greg, all of us at my house watching it, and when this happened, like, it was table flip type shit. We were just like, fucking goddamn it, WWE, what are you doing? And it's so frustrating because at the time, they weren't making all the right decisions. There was a lot of dumb stuff going on, and maybe not that dumb. I feel like even the last couple of years, I have been overall very pleased with the product they've been putting out. But there's exceptions to that for sure. But when they did this, I was angry. I was like, this doesn't feel justified. This feels like a very big mistake. It did feel, even watching at home, like it deflated the entire show. And it's just really fun to, in retrospect, be able to look at where they built to not that long after and see where that all led to. And it strengthened the characters of these people are playing and performing as, right? Yeah. And like now you look at it in 2024 and Becky and Bianca are their top talent among, I would almost say, countless other top talent.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Right. And I think that's something important you called out. It was, you know, obviously the Four Horsewomen. It was the power of NXT. It was what they were doing to the women's division. You know, just two nights ago, I was living the dream, playing WWE 2K24, right? And I had using the new PlayStation Pulse headsets. So I'm listening to the game audio, but then I also had my phone going and I was watching just old network stuff. And I watched the 24 about NXT Brooklyn Takeover. And so, you know, it's Sasha and it's Bayley talking about that, but also legendary, talking about their careers and talking about, like, you know, being in the performance center and being told, no, don't do that. Divas don't wrestle that way. Right. And then you jump to where we are now, right, with this division and where, again, it's funny to look at this and be like, oh, well, Bianca's proving herself doing this thing. And now who Bianca is in WWE, right? And you can have someone like Jade Cargill come in at Rumble, right? And be like, oh my God, this is going to set it on Tiffy time, right? There's so much great stuff and so many great things of, especially for me being as old and dumb as I am, you know, from watching wrestling way back in the day. And when it was, you know, they talk, you know, Sasha and Bayley talk about a lot in that documentary, but like the bra and panty matches, the mud wrestling and yada, yada, yada. And also like what it used to be of the bathroom break, right? That was right? And now like you're watching these matches and I'm stoked for those more than I am some of the tag matches, some of the other matches, you know, whatever happened angle wise and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's incredibly impressive what the women's division has become in WWE.
And it's funny because I feel like that's such a tired take. We say that so often and it's like, well, duh. But it's like, I think that that's the most impressive thing about it is that I feel like every time we say it, it's about something new. Like they keep pushing things forward and we're at the point now that, like, there are more things to be upset about of what's actually, there's co-main events, there's two nights of WrestleMania, so you're telling me there's four main events for WrestleMania? This is dumb as hell. Yeah. But that's just because of how many things deserve the title of main event,
right?
And how often those are multiple women that are fighting. And again, it's not just the legends, it's not just the Four Horsewomen, it's not even just the newcomers that are coming in, but like you see the, like the, and I know now again we're just going off on tangents of stuff,
it's a fun,
like,
episode of
it, but even like Liv, right? Like people like,
oh my god, the Liv Morgan revenge tour,
that is, it's awesome. And I remember watching her and just feeling like, oh, she's cannon fodder, you know what I mean? Like and a lot of her class, I would say it's like, okay, yeah, you're just there. You're going to get eliminated. You're there to get moves done on you. Not even so much in a jobber sense, but more in like a...
You got
to
be that mid-card position.
Exactly.
You're not going to be on the poster. You're not going to be the champion. You're going to be this mid-carder that is there to... You need bodies to wrestle.
Exactly. And if there was a Intercontinental Women's Championship, maybe you would be there, you know? But...
Remember when she cashed in Money in the Bank, though, pinned Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, come on. And that's the thing. That awesome. It's like, I feel like we're just in this great place where it's not true for everybody, but... we've seen the class even after the first NXT, second NXT rise, like find their own voice and find their own characters where it's like, they can win championships and it's believable. It's not like why would they do that? You know?
Yeah. Very cool. It's the same thing too, where I think, like, you know, to be here in March, get on the road to WrestleMania, but look back at the Rumble, like I enjoyed the women's Rumble more than I enjoyed the men's.
10 times over.
Yeah.
And, right? And the men's was good.
Yeah, exactly. We're in a very, very lucky time right now where it's like, no, I enjoyed the men's Rumble. I just thought the women's was better. Yep. I thought Chelsea Green's narrative was awesome.
So
right?
Fun.
Yeah. Like Jade's, yeah, there's enough things. We'll get back to WrestleMania 30. Yet, I apologize. Yeah. So I said for the hype package, a 4 out of 5, right? Are you there with me?
I'm right there with you. Okay. And it's funny. I know that I might, for people that are really paying attention to our thoughts on these episode to episode, like this might sound a little
inconsistent. We appreciate all dozen of you.
We really do. I feel like this might sound like I'm being inconsistent, but I give it a 4 out of 5 and not the 5 out of 5 because goddamn is this solid. It tells such a great story. It's hype. The music's good. All the elements are there. I feel like you don't need to watch the matches leading into it to understand the stakes. They set them all and it's awesome, but it just doesn't have that like, holy crap, this is the best thing
this
ever.
Is WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm exactly. with you. Then my whole thing is like, you know, when they were like 1 year ago, my note, even though I know, but I'm like, if Mike was here, right? Again, I'm sorry he got sick. But I said, why was it crazy? Like, why, 1 year ago, why was this a big deal? Like, you know, you have to feel that. They didn't drive that point home. I thought, you know, it's a great build to the icon, which is the face-off with them and the belt behind them. Like, I like that. But I think even in the package, they could have done a better job of being like, Becky's gone too far. Becky's bad. Becky, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Not,
I know there's the show don't tell angle, but again, when I think about grading a hype package, I'm thinking about it is Roger sitting down. He's out of time. Or Mike, and doesn't understand what exactly the setup is. He knows the people in a modern sense. He doesn't know the background.
Yeah, and because some of the things I want to put here is like, and God, like this is a weird thing for me to say, but I want to because it rubbed me the wrong way.
Just fucking say.
I didn't like the get to the back of the line, bitch line.
Yeah,
there's something about it that, like, I mean at worst felt vaguely racist, but at best felt just like offensive, like with the bitch and things. Like,
if I can
go for it,
jump in, and we love you here with Becky, but I feel like the problem is I just don't like Becky as a heel. Like, I don't know. It's one of those really weird things of it's not that I don't think she can do it. It's just think that it's kind of like Cena, where it's just like, even though some people hate Cena, but like you want to like John Cena, you want to, and there's so much history with Becky and there's so much history with Cena that it's hard to look at it and like it's almost like even though Cena would be, I guess, but like I don't think Becky necessarily was with the man run being as young as it was. You're almost into this like you need a Hogan like heel turn where it's just unbelievable. There's no way we could ever see
the haircutting.
That's the whole thing. In the big time Becks and everything, it was just like, I know you're pretending to be bad. You're awesome. Okay, we love you. I want to love you.
God, there's so much here that I'm right there with you on because it's like, you want them to be the best. You want them to succeed. You want to believe in the stories that they're presenting. But I do feel like there are shades of, I want this more than I actually do. But having said that, they are main eventers. Like,
oh yeah,
all the way to the presenting it and stuff. And it's like, look, it is so, everything that they do is so difficult. It's like literally everything, both the physical side, but I don't think we talk enough about the mic skills and the presentation. Sure. And like, we do this for a living. We speak in front of the camera and we have interactions that are planned, interactions that are not planned. And there are so many different elements to it. That,
I didn't know I was going to do that. That wasn't planned. That wasn't planned.
But it's funny. We watch back old videos of ourselves and we're just like, why am I talking so fast? Why?
Yeah, well, no. Why, you know, I am. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Well, it's just like, there's all these like stuff where it's like you get better over time.
Yeah.
But it's like, I see you cut your promos, Greg. And I'm just like, I don't know how you do it. Like, literally there's levels to this shit. And it doesn't mean
seething hate for PC players with me at all times.
Exactly. But it's like, it's funny where it's like, you don't need to be the best to be good. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm reminded that a lot of, because I'm not the best, but I am good.
Shush.
You know, but I mean that genuinely. And I think that's good. And I see this and I'm like, just when I say, oh, they're not great on the mic, doesn't necessarily mean they're not good on the mic.
Of course.
It's just when you're talking about main eventers, you want the whole package. And like, I hope I'm coming across the right way on this. It's like, I want to believe in it so much because what's being said and done, it's like, you got it. It's just not perfect. And I feel like with Bianca specifically, she still, to this day, I think she still hasn't peaked, like in terms of her ability to be on the mic and
cut promos. To be the full package.
To be the full package. She has so much that she excels in.
Athleticism.
Yeah. Oh my Lord. Like, holy shit. And sometimes it's like, cool. That outweighs the other things. And that's where you get a Paul Heyman involved. That's where you get the managers or whatever it is, you know? But seeing these women, like their fight, I wanted to believe in it. And for the most part, I did, even though I was like, this could be better. I believed.
Okay. So both of us are giving it 4 out of 5. Great. But let's move on to entrances.
Let's do it, Greg. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is an interesting Mania because I watched parts of it. I didn't watch the entire thing. I didn't like sit down ever and go all the way through. Huh?
It's too long.
It's too long. It's the two nights. It's funny. I'm an idiot. I put in here WrestleMania 38's date. I didn't put the year on it, right? Yeah, 2022. So this is Ben's fresh. Ben's fresh right now. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can't dedicate 6 to 8 hours of wrestling over two nights, but I made sure I remember to watch Cody's match. And I think I caught the end of this one back in the day, but I missed the entrances is what I'm driving at. And so watching them for the first time here, I did have that like, all right, cool. Like first off, Becky's Marvel intro. Are you fucking kidding me? I don't know why she's that works as a face. Still be doing that.
It's so good.
So fucking so good. Into the big
champ
time.
Coming out first.
Thank you. That's what I was driving at. That I was so lost in the sauce that my note is there. I'm doing it and I'm like enjoying this. And so here's how my bullet points go. Becky's Marvel intro. Holy shit. Big time Bex. Love the logo, the SUV, the fashionista entrance, the smoke, the confident walk with the belt. Corey Graves just gassing her up. And then so I go, wait, champ out first?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a weird choice. And then of course, the fucking drum line, Tim. Dude. The fucking drum line from Texas Southern University. The marching band.
One of the best WrestleMania entrances of all time. This is the type of gimmicky entrance that you strive for that is awesome. It's epic. It fits the character. It can only work best for her.
Yeah.
And her song. And it all just comes together beautifully. It's funny because like to have the champ come out first, you better have a good reason. And I always think about this at Kind of Funny Life when we pace the entrances and all that. Not that there's like too much rhyme or reason to it all, but it's like Greg should be the last one coming out. That just is how this works, and that's what makes sense. I'm usually the last one to come out.
You because do the biggest shit.
Do the stupidest, dumbest entrance and whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, so for this, I was like, oh, wait, if Becky's coming out first with an awesome intro that it was unique to this with the Marvel stuff, limo pulling up and all of it, I'm like, y'all better go hard, and damn, they did. Bianca's entrance was so freaking cool. I love that that we get the drum line, then we just get some of the song, then the drum line joins back in.
Yeah.
This is kind of like Mike's complaint about the Shawn Michaels entrance a couple weeks ago, which God, he's a fucking idiot for. But I get where he's coming from of not being familiar with the song or whatever, of like it kind of feels like a harsh right turn from like this epic thing to the sexy boy.
Yeah.
From the epic drum line to the song and then integrating it, that's magic.
Real quick as an aside, I want you to know like Mike's kind of ruined it for me because I'm playing so much 2K24 and Shawn Michaels on my faction team or whatever. So at the end when they play his song after you, I'm like, fucking Mike. Because all I think about is Mike, not Mike.
Yeah, I know.
For that instant.
He really is the heartbreak kid. Mike.
He broke everybody's heart. I put in my notes here for the entrances. I fucking love college football and miss marching bands because that's, of course, obviously what we're going for. Also, go ahead.
Seeing this entrance made me think, I don't know why in my life I've never realized for how much I love entrances and hype. I love marching bands, and I've known that. Why did I never think to be like, Greg, we need to go to a college football game? As I brought it up a couple
days ago. Going to the zoo, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Tigers, you know what I mean? I put on here, though, you know, I've been vocal about stages and big arena shows and yada, yada, yada. What a fucking stage. What a fucking walkway for this. Dude. You know what I mean? Like, it is humongous and big, but it doesn't make the wrestlers look small.
Because it's indoor.
Right? Like, there's just, they use that space. You know, I'm talking about how it's Bianca Belair everywhere, down the rampway, the words. Like, you feel it in the energy. And what I have here is great energy from the crowd and Bianca during the intros, right, as they're going through. Like, everybody is fucking vibing.
And their costumes.
Yeah, dude,
both of them look so great. But Bianca's little, I don't know what that thing's called. Maybe it's just drumline outfit, but like the Beatles outfits, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like the jackets.
So damn cool with all the sequins and her hair with the buns, man. It looks so damn good. The one thing, though, that I hate, and I've hated since day one, I hate now, but it really, really, really stuck out in this.
Okay.
Is the freaking AR bullshit, dude. They gotta stop, man. Just like Becky Lynch's shitty looking, like, claymation face with the glasses.
I like that one, actually.
Oh, I like my that one, God, man. It's nonsense. Get it out of here.
And they want to just use the space. You know what I mean?
I get it. And there's very rare times, but there are some times it works. Yeah. There are sometimes like, oh, this enhances the area. This is not one of those times.
Okay. What do you give it out of the Kind of Funny 5-point scale?
It's a 5.
Of course, yeah. Amazing. It's a 5. That's an easy 5 out of 5. Amazing from both of us there. So let's move on to the match itself. Good.
I feel like this goes back to my underrated thing. It's like, I feel like I want to say it's underrated and I want to fight for it more than I actually like it.
Yeah.
Because I like the storytelling of it. I just don't know that it always worked. And it's one of those things where I think on paper, it's fantastic. I think that they pulled off what they put on paper fantastically. I just think doing that doesn't actually end up being fantastic. And part of what I mean by that is the setup of Becky's trying to finish this as fast as possible because she did that at SummerSlam.
Yeah. I like that opening.
That's so cool. But I just feel like it kind of got in the way where you're watching and you're like, this just feels weird. Even though it's very cool what they're doing and I get the story, it's something about it just didn't hit.
I'm with you where, again, I think I'm going to do 3 out of 5 for the match.
Me too.
But again, I want to argue myself, right? And like what I have in my bullet point notes to start right is that I love the smile from Bianca and the scowl from Becky.
Mm-hmm.
Like we establish immediately what's going on. Go for the handshake, punch to the reversal, manhandle slam, goes for the disarmer, Becky looking frantic, so many two counts, Gia would be pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that intro, as awesome as it sounds on paper and was to watch, then becomes my issue with the overall match, where there is so much happening. Like, I get why, hey, Becky Lynch, tell us a WrestleMania match to watch. This one, because I'm proud of it. And you should be Becky. You mm-hmm. should be Bianca. It is a physical display / exhibition of, we are going to do so many quick fall reversals into this, into that, bounce off the ropes, do this thing. But the problem is there's so much put in. I never got to catch my breath, I feel like. And so by the end of it, because of course the finish gets its own rating or its own rating and talk about it, by the end of it, it's a blur. It's like a car accident of like, but what exactly just happened, right? Like if I didn't have the notes as I go through, but even my notes become incomprehensible to it. I'm like, Becky using the rope for a pin. Bianca's step over suplex counter by Beck. Bianca's disarmer to Becky. Becky using Bianca's hair to drag out of the ring. Reversal. That's one bullet point. It's like, that's all awesome, but it's like, holy shit.
I wrote, this is paced like a Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle match, mm-hmm. where it's just like, they're just going, and there is at all times this almost fear that, oh man, Kurt could get you with that ankle lock out of nowhere, or Shawn could get you with that sweet chin music out of nowhere, and the match could be over. But then it's reversal, and it's so exciting, but sometimes it could just be a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and my right after reversal, I have this match is all gas -. I need to catch my breath, and so that's the thing of like, there's so much to like. I mean, one of the notes I have here: what a nice color palette for this match, the black and red with the blue of WrestleMania. Oh. Like it's just visually good looking and stunning. Exciting to see, right? But yeah, there's just so much happening at all times that it's like, wow, like it's so hard to recap even or call out a great moment from it, right?
And that's it was set with her trying to finish it fast. So it was Bianca trying to defend a bit, but then also just trying to keep the pace to like be able to be nimble. And she's so nimble. Like that's the coolest thing is I do think it was a wise call. And again, on paper, make Bianca be on the defense and have to keep moving, but don't make it her running away. Make it her countering, make it her flipping off of the ropes and all that stuff. And that stuff's cool. But I just feel like something about it felt like the entire thing was,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that works against it, sadly, for everything that I like about it. And again, this is always why I love breaking it down. And when I wanted to do Tale of the Tape, to do it this way of like, WWE is about so much more than just the match, right? So it can be the storyline, the entrance, the thing, the finish, the over. It's like, that's all wrapped up. So it's not like this sinks it. It's just so crazy. But again, I think that might work, just take a step back and talk about it from afar, the storytelling from afar, the overall thing. Do I need to remember three awesome moments from it? Or do I need to remember that Becky tried to do what she did at SummerSlam and couldn't fucking get it done after being super insulting and Bianca was able to get out of there with the championship?
We talk about goals a lot, right? Of what was the goal of this match? And I think that to me, that's a 5 out of 5. The goal was big time Bex to put over Bianca.
Yeah.
And she did.
Achieved
that.
It. Yeah.
And I think that on top of that, it didn't make Becky look any less dominant. Yeah. And she comes out, She lost, but I feel like her character, this is her Hollywood character, you know? Like, this is the era where it's like being talked about more on the shows and everything, that like she's married to Seth Rollins, who is Seth freaking Rollins, this like larger than life character that is anti-Hollywood characters, like anti-corporate, but he's also flashy. And like, it's that weird blend of both Seth and her fit a unique place in WWE where they are Hollywood workers. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, and
it's like their characters, they're the fucking superstars, but they're not out there like The Rock or Cena or Roman Reigns attempting in Hobbs and Shaw.
I mean, come on now. You know Seth was trying to get in that Captain America fit picture.
Cut, man.
I know, right? Heartbreaker.
Urban society. One day.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, so like, again, there's a bunch of stuff I wrote down, but I think it's, again, so crazy, right? Bianca bouncing off the ropes via handstand into a flip for a near fall. Great. Bianca dropping backs on the top rope. I love. She has a big splash in the second rope. Flip to the double foot to the face. Rolling thunder kick in midair. I love Becky just rolling and rolling and rolling to get out of the ring, if you remember that one point. And they were like, oh, yeah. But then I, you know, KOD into the manhandle slam on the stairs. Like, there's a lot of stuff in there, but again, it's just so much. It's everything in the kitchen sink.
Yep.
That again, I 3 out of 5 it. I say it's okay, which I'm doing the Greg Miller thing of there's 2 okays, and this is a good okay. It's good. It's okay. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, just too much too fast.
I mean, even the part we were talking about with the manhandle slam onto the chairs, it was just like, all right, cool. Then the ref starts counting, and it's like, I don't know that this match needed that level of beatdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was like,
it just had so much going for it that we didn't, you said everything in the kitchen sink. We didn't need all of the match gimmicks, like, you know, there wasn't like a gimmicks in terms of like,
I don't mean like it's a TLC match.
Yeah, it wasn't like that type of thing, but it was just like, I don't know. It just kind of like, again, on paper, the pacing's perfect, but just seeing it, it's kind of like, oh man, like too much of a good thing.
Yep. That moves us to the finish. I said, what I put here is I loved the quickness of the finish.
Yep.
Back to it, right? Lift for the manhandle, backflip escape into KOD, right? And then for me, the next bullet point, which I think works again for the overall package, is Bianca selling how exhausted she is. Like, right, I'm exhausted from watching it.
Yep.
I can't imagine being there. And again, for it to be, all right, cool, we've done it, right? Like, I like FFSI here in the chat live with this kind of funny membership says, Bianca out-wrestled, outshine, big time Bex. It wouldn't work for Bianca to be a plucky, lucky good guy, right? Like, again, this was both of them gave it their all, and she came up and she came out on top, and that works for what the storyline is. She can do it. SummerSlam was a fluke, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? In a way, to bring it back to the comment earlier that Kofi never got his fucking redemption.
No.
They did Kofi incredibly fucking dirty.
The dirtiest they've ever done anybody, in my opinion.
And it's like that thing of like, I'm not that guy, obviously, because we all love wrestling for what it is, but it is that thing of like, well, then why would you ever be like, is Kofi, like, Kofi's never going to get another shot at the championship, because that's how he went out? That sucks. That's a fucking terrible way to do it. I'm glad this happens for Bianca. I'm glad that it goes this way. I'm glad it's exhausted. But I think there's a bunch of interesting things happening here, right, where there's a kid upset in the front row
that
Becky lost, right? I have here, it's interesting to see how the crowd is split. Like, even there, the crowd doesn't want to hate Becky. We want to like Becky, right? But I do like the humiliation at SummerSlam, the redemption at WrestleMania, holding the belt up with the EST behind her. I thought was really great.
Amazing.
Yeah, right.
The commentators being like, one of the great EST moments of WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I love Bianca's excitement too. She's selling it so well that she did this and pulled this off and all that stuff.
Oh, what a good time. I love the show, Greg.
I 4 out of 5 the finish.
Yeah, you know,
I think it's a great finish to a match that I thought was too much. But again, to give it a cutoff and come back from manhandle, backflip, escape, like to look at that portion of it, and then again, the ending of it, I think it's great. I think what holds it back is the fact that the crowd can't feel 100% into it. You know what I mean?
I think I'd argue a 5 on this one.
Okay.
And the main reason being, like, I think that the goal was achieved of, like, both women coming out of this looking like megastars and putting Bianca over and allowing Becky to, you know, have a character that is not the most over, the most the good guy of it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, sure, like, I think it's a good sign when the heel, there's still people that love him. You know what I mean? It's rare. Because I feel like you got to be The Rock to do that. And Becky Lynch is doing that. That's pretty sick, man.
Well, then where do you even put Mommy in the conversation?
I mean, I think that's kind of like that too, right?
I think Rhea's gone too far.
Yeah.
Rhea's so a face right now. So it's just like, you know, you can't boo her. Dominic gets all the heat, which is why they're great together and still being evil. But like, she's not evil.
It's
she's hanging out
thing.
With Bianca and Cody for the cover shoot. It's like, all right.
Yeah. I feel like the heel and face conversation, there are times where it's good and evil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's just times where it's like, who were we rooting for? And sometimes it's good to be rooting for both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sure. I feel like this is one of those situations to me that, like, this match made both women look better.
Okay. So then, Tim, what's your overall rating of Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair at WrestleMania 38?
It's a reluctant 3 out of 5.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I think I was somewhere middling of or whatever, between 3 and 4, but I think I've, throughout talking out my emotions of this, it's a 4 for me, where I think this is a great overall WrestleMania match, or segment, I guess, is what we're really judging, right? Because it's more than just the match.
You won me over. It's a 4. It's a 4.
Because I'm going to use your own words, right? Yeah. Where I think they accomplished the goal they're going for. I think, again, the match itself, too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I had a great time. I loved the visuals. I loved the story we're being told.
Right. It's a 4.
It's a 4, ladies and gentlemen. It's a universal 4. We'll assume Mike would have agreed with us. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, this is called WrestleMania Ranked. Yes, we review the match segment by segment, but then we rank the Mania matches against each other. But before we do that, let me tell you and remind you, of course, about the Kind of Funny membership. You, of course, can go get the Kind of Funny membership on YouTube. You can get it on Patreon. You can get it wherever your little heart desires, and you get each and every episode of WrestleMania Ranked ad-free. You'd get the ability to watch us live, record it, and all our other podcasts. And, of course, you'd get the vlog each and every day Greg way. But since you're not using your Kind of Funny membership, here's one.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top-quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the perfect polarized shades is a breeze. If you want an upgrade, we recommend their premium Color Rush lenses. Crafted with rare earth materials, these lenses bring high-impact color to life, elevating reds, blues, and greens. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays, whether it is Tim looking dope doing his Pokemon Go walks, Snowmike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange them or return them for free within 30 days. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that is ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off polarized sunglasses.
This episode's brought to you by BetterHelp. Whether it's friends, partners, or coworkers, I am blessed to have many amazing relationships in my life. But a common misconception about relationships is that they have to be easy to be right. But sometimes the best ones happen when both people put in the work to make them great. Therapy can be a place to work through the challenges you face in all of your relationships, whether it's with friends, work, your significant other, or anyone else. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny.
We're back, but before we rank these matches, it's time for our special segment, One Man Gang Gang, where Cool Greg gives his thoughts on what's going on with this match. He's got a burrito in his hand. I love it.
Here. Thank you for having me again. Sad to see Mike's not here. I wanted to start by saying I still haven't forgiven Bianca for what she did to Sasha at the main event at the WrestleMania right before this.
Sure.
But even with that, like, I agree with a lot of what you guys said. I'm thinking more between a 5 and a 4 rather than a 3 and a 4. I'm going to land on a 4 as well. But
okay.
Yeah, you guys are hating.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Cool. Hell yeah. Enjoy your burrito. It's time to rank the Mania matches. Right now, we have 5 on the list, and they go like this. Number 1, Rock vs. Hogan, WrestleMania X8. Number 2, Undertaker vs. HBK at WrestleMania 25. Number 3, Kofi vs. Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 35. Number 4, Bayley vs. Charlotte vs. Sasha vs. Nia at WrestleMania 33. And then JBL vs. Finley at WrestleMania 24. Where, Timothy, are we putting Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 38?
Oh, man. It's not an easy place for me to go. It's definitely not one. It's definitely not two. It could be three.
Wow.
I think it could.
You think it's three over Kofi Mania?
I do. I do, because when you think about the whole package, you think about like where it ends and the entrances and what was given to us. Kofi Mania's end, to me, trumps anything.
Amazing.
Dead, right? But I do think that the like moment-to-moment stuff, and again, I love that, the Kofi match, but the entrances were what they needed to be for that match, which were nothing. But these entrances were amazing, and I'm an entrance guy.
Shit. You might have just flipped me. I want to go back and look at my notes from. God, I didn't think you'd flip me like this. I was like, clearly it's going to be number four below Kofi, but you just made a lot of good fucking points.
Again, I want to fight for this match in saying it's underrated, and I'm the one rating it, which is stupid. But like, yeah, no, it's there's a lot of good here, man. I go back to
shit.
These
you're right. Fuck, you're right. Not that it's like a scientific survey here, but I'm looking at my Kofi ratings where hype package 3, entrance 3, match 4, finish 4, overall 4. And what I gave everything a 4 here except the match itself. Fuck, I'm going to let the science speak for itself and join you. That's our third numbers, match, baby. Ladies and gentlemen. We're putting it right there. Underneath Taker and HBK at WrestleMania 25 at number 2, we're putting it number 3, Bianca versus Becky at WrestleMania 38, making it the new number 3 on our list of matches as we continue to add on.
We got Jagginator, yeah, in the chat saying, by the way, guys, I went on a massive tear that is still ongoing through all of WWE history because of this show. I never really watched wrestling before, but now I'm in love with catching up on everything I want to see going all the way back. I got caught up for this year's WrestleMania, but I'm still going back to all the matches I want to see from my favorite wrestlers. Hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Very, very.
It's cool. Funny because, you know, Roger is now obsessed with wrestling. And I was like, oh, awesome. Have you been watching WrestleMania Ranked? And he said, no. I was like, oh, well, all right. You know what I mean? He's just watching documentaries. I'm like, that's fair
that's
enough.
Great.
I appreciate
it. Start.
Man, there you go. Number 3, Bianca versus Becky at WrestleMania 38. But of course, we aren't to Philadelphia just yet, ladies and gentlemen. There are 4 episodes of the show left, and to find out where we're going next, we asked WWE 2K24 Showcase Mode lead designer Dino Zucconi.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dino Zucconi, and I am the lead designer of the Showcase Mode on WWE 2K24, which of course contains this year's Showcase of the Immortals, where we're covering all of WrestleMania's greatest moments and matches. And I hear that's kind of the theme right now. We're talking about our favorite WrestleMania matches, and for me, there is no question, WrestleMania 13, Bret the Hitman Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Ken Shamrock is your special guest referee, submission match. The fire between these two could not be contained. Months-long rivalry, Bret Hart coming back, spurning Shawn Michaels in favor of taking on the best wrestler in the company, Steve Austin. And after a classic of the Survivor Series in 1996 and some more fire between them at Royal Rumble and Final Four, it was time to settle this score. One of the most famous finishes, you have your double turn, Bret Hart's making his fans mad, Steve Austin's gaining them because he will not give up. But that doesn't mean he's going to come out with that victory now, does it? It is, in my opinion, the greatest match of all time, let alone a WrestleMania great match. It's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Bret the Hitman Hart taking on Stone Cold Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13.
This guy gets it.
Dino, you son of a bitch, video, you got baby. Me. That was a promo, man. That was good. Yeah, hell yeah. Man, I look at everything on this show, all the comments for it, and I've seen so many people like, man, they should have gone this or done a best of WrestleMania. There you go.
There
you
we
get
go,
one
baby.
Of the inarguably best WrestleMania matches of all time. Thanks to Dino and WWE 2K24, who, of course, sponsors this show. And remember, that game is out today, this week. You can get it.
A match I have never seen, Greg.
No!
Yeah, I've seen the highlights.
Oh,
I've seen the clips.
Oh, my God.
Cool Greg, have you seen this match? Yeah, okay,
of course,
okay.
Cool Greg.
I have not seen it in its entirety. I'm extremely excited.
That's it. I am very excited for you to see it. I love this match. And this is one I remember that, like, you talk about, like, what cemented Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? This is it, man. And it's like, even going back and doing Showcase in WWE 2K24 and getting to this, I was excited to do it. I love doing it, like, reliving it and going back and forth. Like, this is going to be a fun one, ladies and gentlemen. But That's next week. That's another WrestleMania ranked in the books. Remember, each and every week leading up to WrestleMania 40, we're reviewing and ranking a match handpicked by our wrestling friends. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. You can get the Kinda Funny screencast for free with ads and without the exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. Until next time, mommy's always on top.